brother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
All right. So I want to begin the show by asking a question of the listening audience. And it really is, to me, going to really make a difference on whether or not we're going to change things back, or at least move things back to the way they were before the Republican Party decided to dismantle the middle class of this nation. Now, do you support unionism? Simple question. Do you believe and or support unions? The reason why that's so critically important, and you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's a simple question. But in this nation, there's always been a yin and a yang as it relates to whether or not people supported people in unions. I know as a young man, back in the early 1970s, I don't know, over 35%, maybe 40% of the people in this country were part of unions. And it is not coincidental that that was a time when the middle class was strong and vibrant, and because companies were forced to pay a livable wage to people, they didn't do it because they were benevolent people. They did it because they were forced to do it, because an organized group of people had more power than individuals. But since the unions have basically all but been destroyed, the private unions, it's no wonder that the standards of living in this nation have plummeted. Unions, organized labor, was always a threat to major corporations in this country, even though organized labor allowed those corporations to prosper and last as long as many of them have. It was because of the labor. But once Republicans killed labor unions, and make no mistake about it, it was a design plan by conservatives to destroy unions. Democrats had some involvement in that too. Let me be honest. When the decisions that were made to dismantle unions in the 80s came into existence, we're talking about private unions, because people didn't argue about, governmental unions, police, fire. Nobody wanted to destroy the unions of police and fire. And that's why they're stronger than they ever were, because somehow the American people will accept the unions when it comes to police and fire, but have rejected unions when it came to private unions. I never understood why the American people were opposed to private unions, but always supported governmental unions. That just, to me, has never made any sense. And it's really why, if you work, if you're a policeman, if you're a fireman, if you are a public school teacher, if you work for the city, if you work for the county, if you work for the state, those unions are still in place. And those are the middle class jobs that have not been affected and impacted, and the base salaries of what those people make, because their unions are still intact. Our phone lines are open. at 844-967-2789. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your opinions on that. I know. I lived that life. And so the amount of money that I made during the early 1970s all the way through the time I retired in about 1995, I made more money than people with master's degrees, with a high school diploma, because the unions work collectively to get the best that they possibly could for their workers. Now, you know, the Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, what was it, 14 years ago, under Scott Walker, the Supreme Court and the state legislature created something or brought in something called right to work. Never will forget it. And many people never understood why they kept pushing the right to work laws. Right to work, right to work. We've got to get right to work in the state of Wisconsin. And so the legislature under Scott Walker and Scott Fitzgerald and Robin Voss, with the support of many of the taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin, ushered in right to work laws. So what were the right to work laws and why did they do that? The right to work laws, they confused many people who didn't understand what a right to work law really was. And they confused people who did not understand that being a part of the union basically protected you from things that companies and corporations could do. You standing alone were no match, but a union itself could take on the corporations and the companies and protect you and your job. But when the Republicans under Scott Walker and the legislature again, Robin Voss, Scott Fitzgerald, and others ushered in right to work, it meant that people no longer had to be parts of unions. And try to follow me, because this never made any sense to me if you were a person who worked in a union. I started seeing towards the latter years of my time, over 30, 34 years in a union, union workers saying, I don't need the union. The union hasn't done anything for me. Never mind, I was a guy who had 6 weeks of paid vacation, 7 personal days, a pension, all of those other things, your birthday off, a week off for Christmas, 3 days off for Thanksgiving. I mean, all of those things that we had, those benefits that we had, were derived over all of those decades of people fighting for the union. And those people understanding the importance and the power of the membership in unions. They destroyed that. They took that away. And I used to tell the leaders of the union, can't you see what's taking place here? The younger workers that are coming in don't understand the power of the union. And our unions have not done their due diligence in educating the people on why there are unions and the importance of it. And sure enough, all of that went away. So they ushered in right to work, not just in Wisconsin, across the nation. Right to work meant that I can join the union. I mean, I could join a union, because all it took to join the union was, you know, you had to pay your union dues and make, you know, the 30 days or 60 days probationary period. And bingo, as Archie Bunker would say, bingo, bango, you would wind up with a union membership. Now, for people who don't know and were never in a union, I'm sorry. You really did not know why people like me have a pension for the rest of my life. And why, after working for those 30 years, I'm comfortable, because that money is there, and not only for me, but after I die, my wife gets a portion of that. The unions created that. And once they took all of that away, the people who aren't in unions don't get that. They may have worked the same amount of years that I worked, but they don't get that. And to me, that's terrible. The unions made that happen. So now, the Republicans came in with Right to Work, and what Right to Work basically says is, you can be a member of the union, but you don't have to pay any union dues. So wait a minute. The power of the unions were the fact that we would pay dues so the unions could take on, legally, in courts, wherever it was, the corporations. And what the Republicans understood and knew about this was that the unions would donate money to the campaigns, normally of the Democratic Party. So they set up a time to make sure that never happened again. Look, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Again, do you support unions? And if you don't, why? 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, I'm asking a question, whether or not you support unions, and if not, why? And there's a reason for it, because Michigan, the state of Michigan, for the first time in 60 years, is looking to restore union power and union rights. Let's go to the phone lines, and Lynn from Oconomowoc. Thank you very much for the call.
And thank you for taking my call, Earl. I'm a strong proponent of unions. I see that one group of people, one group of politicians are trying to weaken our child labor laws. And doing that, I believe, would create an underclass. But I've seen unions from both sides. My father was non-union. He was in management. My grandfather ran a non-union electrical contracting business and had his wires cut. However, my husband was in the police union, and when he passed, they came forward and helped out financially. And while I was in management with the city of Milwaukee, maybe had a little bit better insurance policy, Every time the unions went to fight and negotiated for a raise, I got a little bit bigger bump. So I have benefited through union negotiations, and I believe when I hire someone or have something printed, I use union contractors.
You know, Lynn, there was always, again, a side in this society that either supported unions or did not support unions. If you weren't a member of a union, there was not a lot of compassion for people who were in unions because the plight that people, for the most part, who didn't work in unionized shops did not get the benefits that people in unions had. And there was people who led others to believe that people who were in unions were just lazy and could not fight for themselves. And certainly unions were for people who basically were slothfuls. That was what was portrayed around, you know, to make sure that people didn't all want to join unions. But there was a time when, and if the unions were such horrible, horrible entities, why were the companies denying or doing everything within their power to stop people from unionizing?
Right. I also had my best friend's father was in the milkman's union.
Right.
And became one of the organizers in there. My uncle was in the union. My dad's brother was in the union at Ellis Chalmers.
So it was because at one time over 40% of the people in this country were in unions. And it wasn't coincidental that that was a time when the middle class in this nation was at its strongest.
Absolutely.
You know, and so now you look and see that outside of the governmental unions, police, fire, and, you know, city, state, county, the union members are probably down to less than 10%. And so
right.
People say, we don't want to be in the union. Well, why? If you had a chance to, again, you talked about all of those people, your loved ones, especially the ones that were in unions, they retired with pensions. Your husband, when he passed, his pension went to you.
That's correct.
So why would people be opposed to something that makes sense? You know, burial insurance. The unions took care of all those things. You know, in many instances, would pay, made it possible for the employees to go to college free. All of those benefits came through unions.
That is correct.
So, you know, I thank you for calling because I just don't understand. And I think a lot of it, Lynn, is that people don't understand the power of those unions and the importance of those unions, and to see that Michigan, 60 years later, is undoing their right to work laws, which we under in Wisconsin are still under, should be sending a message to all of us. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you calling, and thanks for listening. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. That's the number. Do you believe in unions or not? Do you support unions? We'll be right back. Abrams Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. I asked a question early on if you support unions or not. And I'm going to ask it one last time before we move on, 844-967-2789. I'm interested in your view on it. And so, and here's the reason why. So in Michigan, Michigan opens the door to restoring union power. That's a major step that will turn around all of the things that I watched in my lifetime, where the middle class disappeared. It wasn't accidental that the union disappeared, you know, during the time that Republicans were in charge. It's not accidental. That was real. And this is titled, again, Michigan Opens the Door to Restoring Union Power for the First Time in Nearly 60 Years. 60 years, a state is poised to reverse its right to work law and begin to undo the damage of a corporate-driven anti-union trend. Michigan is expected to very soon reverse its so-called right to work law, the repeal led by Democrats and passing along strictly partisan lines is a concrete outcome of the Liberal Party winning a narrow majority of seats in the state's House and Senate last November, and Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer winning re-election. Democrats managed to undo Republican law, gerrymandering on Election Day, and now hold a two-seat advantage in each chamber. Now, if you want to know why it's important that you vote, the only way this was able to be changed is the fact that Democrats were able to take a two-seat advantage in that chamber. And by having a two-seat advantage in the chamber and by having a Democratic governor, they could undo these laws that took away the opportunity for people to live a middle-class lifestyle. Two people. So for those of you who don't vote, who say we can't do this and we can't do that, this is a major knock on people who think and believe that. Two people winning a narrow majority are able to now eventually change the direction of many people's lives because unions are going to be able to come back and raise the standards of living for the people who live in Michigan. Contrast Wisconsin. Republicans are solidly in leadership on the state level, and we are not going to be able to get rid of what Scott Walker and the Republicans created in the right to work laws. And so the suffering and the pain that the people of the state of Wisconsin are experiencing, not seeing economic advancements, it's because Republicans are still solidly in control of the legislature, and the unions are going to remain where they are. Only, you know, the governmental unions are going to remain strong, and the average everyday person is going to continue to suffer. Why is that important? We just are in the process of a Supreme Court race. You got to follow this. That is slated to be not only the most followed and watched Supreme Court race in the country. Just think about that. All the states in this country, the 50 states, and they all have Supreme Court races at some point in time. Why is Wisconsin the most watched. Why has there already been $20 million spent on this race? The most in the history of any Supreme Court race in the entire nation. History. There's never been a time that as much money that's been spent already in this race ever occurred in the history of the nation. You got to think about that. Why is it so important? Well, the Republicans have controlled the Supreme Court for the last 15 years. Hear me now. They've had the advantage. It's been their way. All the laws that have been passed that the Supreme Court has supported that many of us in the state of Wisconsin don't like, who don't think that the way the state has been going is what we support. It is because Republicans have been in control of the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court. Think about it. You may say, well, I want Daniel Kelly because, so-and-so talk show host said we should support Dan Kelly and not Janet Protasiewicz. And I've been reading on, what is the name of that rag that comes out that Jessica McBride is the editor of? It's called, Wisconsin Right Now. Just a rag of a paper that comes out that will lie nonstop. It worked for the Mandela Barnes and Ron Johnson because they put all those lies out there about who Mandela Barnes was. They put all the lies out there about Tony Evers, and now they're putting all these lies out about Janet Protasiewicz. And you hear the conservative radio stations, nonstop talk show hosts, constantly lying because they want to make sure that they continue to control the state Supreme Court. It will leave them in a position of power. And it's why in this state we have suffered the way we've suffered because of 15 years of Republican-controlled Supreme Court. And then you turn around and you hear the charlatans on Republican talk radio saying, well, Janet Protasiewicz is going to legislate from the liberal side of things. What the hell are you talking about, man? For 15 years, the Republican Supreme Court justices have legislated from the perspective of conservatives. So you're sending this message and terrifying people that, she's going to look at it from the liberal perspective. The liberal perspective cannot be any worse than what's happened over the last 15 years and the decisions that were rendered by the state Supreme Court. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Understand this. The reason so much money is being spent, if this seat was not that important, now I understand why the Democrats are spending that kind of money, because for the last 15 years, they've had to watch decisions made and rendered by Republican and conservative-leaning Supreme Court justices that have impacted and affected our lives in horrible ways. You know, right to work. You may not think that's much, but it's one amongst many other things that have taken place. You know, certainly supporting the maps. Excuse me. Amongst other things, you know, right to work. All kind of things that have caused the average Wisconsinite to suffer, even if they didn't even realize it. So I understand why Democrats, after 15 years, see a chance that they can at least become, you know, the majority, and then work towards doing what Michigan is doing right now, overturning all the damage that conservatives have done on state levels across this nation. I'm sorry. If what I'm saying is not true, 844-967-2789. I know what I'm saying is true. And many of you know it too. So again, the reason that this is such an important election, and don't take my word for it. Listen to this. This is in this morning's The Guardian. The Wisconsin judicial election could decide the next United States president. What? How do we get from a state Supreme Court seat, maybe being the deciding factor on who the next United States president could be? Maybe we don't understand. Maybe there's some things we're too close to it. And maybe since $20 million has already been spent, and many more millions to come as we close in on April 4th, there's something that we don't see. Democrats must throw everything they have into this race and not neglect a potentially pivotal vote. The Wisconsin Supreme Court election, which has been described as the most important election in the nation this year, takes place on April 4th in less than 3 weeks and is already the most expensive, I repeat, most expensive of its kind in the United States history. In this race, voters of color will once again be the key to electing a candidate who can safeguard our democracy. The question of whether Trump or another Republican election denier will have a second chance to try to disrupt the democratically decided election and this time perhaps succeed could be determined by this one judicial election in the Midwest. Recognizing what is at stake, both sides have spent a staggering $27 million so far on this race. The election will probably be tight, and every vote will count. Wisconsin is majority white at around 80%, but the state is also at least 20% people of color, according to the census data. If Democrats fail to prioritize investing in mobilizing voters of color and inspiring them to turn out to vote, they may lose. Typically, this type of judicial election will barely register as a blip in Wisconsin, let alone gain this much national attention. But the stakes in this battleground state are sky high, not only because Wisconsin's future hangs in the balance when it comes to abortion, voting rights, redistricting, and election policy, but also because the judicial seat could be crucial to ensuring a fair presidential election outcome in 2024. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. And by the way, did you see the debate yesterday, with Judge Kelly and Judge Janet Protasiewicz? Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I'd love to hear your opinion on that. We'll be right back.
Filled with sadness and confusion.
show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, I'm talking about the state Supreme Court race, the importance of it, the fact that there's conversation all over this nation that this is the most important race of the entire year, and that this race could also determine who the president of the United States could be in 2024. In 2020, the Wisconsin Supreme Court rejected by a one-vote margin an effort by Trump's allies to challenge the election result. The state's seven-member court has been controlled by conservatives since 2008, and the winner of this race will serve a 10-year term. So let's imagine what happens if the Republicans get another 10 years to control the state Supreme Court. A quarter of a century of Republican control of the state Supreme Court in the state of Wisconsin is unheard of and should never happen. Whether or not you think Democrats should have a right to be a member, I mean, to control a state Supreme Court or not, it makes zero sense that you would give any side a quarter of a century in control of any entity, let alone the state Supreme Court. If you don't have any faith or belief in Democratic leadership, tell me how it makes sense, you think, to award any one side in a democracy a quarter of a century control over any seat. Makes no sense whatsoever. The progressive Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Janet Protasiewicz is up against conservative Daniel Kelly, a former state Supreme Court justice who lost his seat in 2020. On the surface, Protasiewicz may seem to be in a better position funding-wise. According to Ad Impact, Protasiewicz campaign has spent $9.1 million in the past few weeks on TV ads, and outside groups supporting her have spent $2 million. But forces on the right, namely conservative billionaires like Brary Seed, Trump's judge whisperer, Leonard Leo of the Federalist Society, and the Elon shipping supply magnet family are expecting to inject millions for Kelly, most likely in TV ads, painting Protasiewicz as soft on crime. Already, $3.9 million is poured in for Kelly from these and other outside funders, and there's plenty more where that came from. Yet Democrats might sleep on properly investing in mobilizing voters. How do we know? Because national Democrats failed to truly step up when it came time to support Mandela Barnes' U.S. Senate campaign last fall. Groups on the right spent $62 million on behalf of Republican Ron Johnson, compared with the less $41 million for Barnes. The right's $29 million last-minute attacks included unabashedly racist ads against Barnes, who is black. In the end, Johnson, a skeptic of COVID-19, who was tied to a 2020 Republican scheme to have the state's Republican-dominated legislature, chose Wisconsin's presidential elections electors, won narrowly, 50.5% to Barnes, 49.5%. So I do think, and I do hope, that the Democratic Party understands, and it certainly looks for all the reason that they do understand, because they're spending money like they should to win this seat. And whatever it takes, however much money, if they have to empty the coffers to make sure that the Republicans don't get 25 years of rule on the state Supreme Court level, then by all means, empty the coffers. And then you know, ask us to donate to refill the coffers. If the Democrats don't have as many multi-billionaires as the Republicans, then then each one of us has to add a little something to make sure that this race is not lost. This is a critically important race because if the Democrats don't win this seat, the chances are we're not going to see an opportunity for anybody, the Democrats, to get a seat at the state Supreme Court level because everybody there is young. Everybody there is young. And so they're not going to be retiring anyway soon. Unless, you know, some unforeseen circumstances happen. So the Democrats understand that. Cannot lose this seat. I'd much rather see the Democrats with a 4-3 advantage over the next 15 years than the Republicans, again, to add another 15 years to an already 15 year. Can you imagine how things are going to be if Republicans get another 15-year opportunity to rule on the state level? We've seen 15 years of it. I don't want to see anymore. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
What be-